Well, hello there, and welcome to Dr. Michelle's Vital Edge, the official podcast to optimize your body, brain, and soul. This is my first episode, and I'm really excited to start this journey and hopefully offer some resources and information to those of you interested in optimizing your health and just finding that new level of performance, vibrancy, vitality in your life. And so for today's show, since it is my very first episode, I thought I'd talk about myself a little bit and how I came to where I am in this current state of life. There's been a lot of interesting things that have happened for me that have brought me to this place where I am now hopeful to share with you some of the things that I've learned along the way. So I'll start early on. Actually, I grew up in the South in Atlanta, Georgia, with a really awesome family, unique, quirky, and fun, of course, as most families tend to be. And my mom was from New Orleans, so I spent a lot of time in the South, the deep South of New Orleans, and including learning how to water ski in the murky waters of the Chifuncta River with cottonmouths and alligators, and swimming in my grandparents' pool, playing outdoors with my siblings and cousins, and basically just learning how to be a kid in nature. It's funny because looking back, you know, now I consider myself an outdoors person, and I never really thought of myself that way as a kid, but ironically, we spent most of our time outdoors. I mean, when I think about when I was growing up, you know, what I remember the most is bugs, humidity, sweating a lot, and being up in the trees. Like, my brother and I would hang out in this big magnolia tree in our backyard, built a little treehouse, sort of, if you can call it that. It was basically a couple of planks of wood nailed to various branches. And we'd go up there and eat our lunch, and then we'd go out into the driveway and set fire to ants with magnifying glasses in the sun, and catch lightning bugs at night, you know, so that we could see them glow in our rooms every night, and basically avoid various features of nature, like huge thunderstorms that would roll through tornadoes that hit our neighborhood frequently. And it was just an interesting life growing up in that kind of setting. The other thing I think I learned about being a Southerner and about myself, really, in the midst of being from a big family who was from the South, was how to speak my mind. Because in the South, a lot of the theme is to kind of keep a good image for those around you, to keep things between the lines and make sure you're not stepping on people's toes, and to kind of put out, you know, a persona that you've got it all together and that certain things aren't discussed, etc. And I was a middle child of two awesome siblings. I have an older brother and a younger sister. And I think I was kind of aptly named the black sheep of the family for good reason. I definitely called people out on things and spoke my mind and certainly didn't hang within the parameters of the Southern Belle kind of mentality. Not that that was pushed upon us, but we definitely had a lot of courtesies that we needed to accommodate. And, you know, I just pushed back against that a lot. And I think it's served me well in life, because I've been a little bit of a renegade ever since the early years. So it was challenging for sure in the teen years for my mom in particular. And I definitely, you know, dabbled in some partying and some having fun and pushing boundaries and things like that as a kid, as a late teen especially. But somehow came out the other side with a good value system that certainly my parents and family instilled upon me. And I'm eternally grateful for that, honestly, because it's definitely made me who I am. So in the later years of high school and college, I worked as a lifeguard, and that was kind of the early stage of learning how to do medicine, honestly. It was my first bout of training, formal training. So I did my lifeguard training when I was in college. And well, I worked at the pool, but then, you know, got my lifeguard certification in college. And actually, one of my early experiences as a lifeguard, I think I was probably about 18 years old and working in the summer home from school. And one of my early experiences was I think this kid was about 15 years old. And I was monitoring the deep end of the pool. It was a big, large public pool in our neighborhood that I grew up, you know, in all summer long, basically. And there was another lifeguard monitoring the shallow end. And she kind of freaked out and got my attention and pointed at this body, basically, at the bottom of the pool in her section. And it was a crowded day, of course. So I jumped in and got this boy, and he was probably bigger than me, honestly, at that point in my development, and brought him to the side of the pool. He was blue and not breathing, and I knew exactly what to do, but somehow I was kind of frozen in that moment of panic, and I didn't act panicked necessarily, but I definitely was pretty paralyzed, even though I knew exactly in my brain what to do. And thankfully, there was another lifeguard there that was able to give him some breaths. And we had to do a big debriefing. And I recognized, you know, that I really didn't come through with my skills and training in that moment. And certainly, that was my first experience with, you know, an emergency situation where I was in charge. And it was definitely transformative for me, because I really never wanted that to happen again. I definitely wanted to be able to help somebody. Thankfully, that kid did just fine. He came to and was transported to the hospital, and I actually knew one of the physicians that was on duty, and she let us know that he did fine and recovered just fine with no trauma, thank goodness, because it could have certainly gone the other way. So I recognized in that moment, not knowing it actually, that my medical career had just been launched. And thankfully that happened, even though it was a traumatic experience for me. And I certainly had to live with some regret and, you know, unfortunate kind of thoughts about that and guilt, et cetera, about that situation. But as we know, adversity is always a place of learning. And thankfully that transformed me and really launched me on this path of medicine that I'm continually traveling now. So anyway, after that experience, I, you know, did the typical college things. I went to the University of Georgia, which is a huge university in Athens. Tons of great music, met lots of awesome people, drank way too much the first couple of years, and thankfully transformed into a pothead for the second few years, the last couple of years. And I say that jokingly, but honestly, it really helped me not drink so much. And I was a very, what I would call, active and motivated pothead in that day. And so I made it to class all the time. I was an avid student. I exercised a ton. And I started my outdoor career during that time frame too, because I enrolled in a mountaineering class that was run by the Army Rangers. They were very active in northern Georgia. And they had a class, you know, the basic mountaineering class, and I loved it. It was amazing and really taught me how to be outdoors in nature, how to have some skills. We did rappelling and rock climbing and backpacking and things like that. And with that edge of the Army type of feel to it. So we tied our own Swiss seats when we were doing rappelling, and the Rangers would come and pick us up by them and make sure they were tight enough. And, you know, they'd be like, "Mattingly, on belay or on rappel." And then you just have to back off the edge of Mount Yona and just trust that the ropes were going to hold you. It was definitely an interesting experience, since I had never done anything like that before, but I fell for it right away. And I started doing a lot of backpacking pretty much every weekend in my latter couple of years of school. my degree was in environmental science. And so I was studying some really interesting, cool stuff too. And we were in, being a Southern school, we were in the agricultural department. And so our classroom actually was right by one of the slaughterhouses. And so I became a vegetarian for a period of time because I had to listen to pigs being slaughtered while we were taking our Scantron bubble form tests. And so that influenced me to, for the first time, kind of take charge of my own nutrition. And I'm no longer a vegetarian. I'm definitely an omnivore these days. But I did learn a lot from that experience and from choosing something different for my health with nutrition and the food that I chose to eat. So back to the backpacking, that was a huge part of my junior and senior year of college. And like I said, I spent every weekend pretty much up in the North Georgia mountains or up in North Carolina in the Smokies. And it was very transformative for me and liberating to just be in nature and experience that kind of meditative process of, you know, hiking and backpacking and camping and learning just to be out there. It was wonderful. So when I graduated, I did a big trip with a friend of mine from college on the Continental Divide, and we did it kind of, you know, like we would do multi-day trips, but we had a car, so we were able to cover a lot of ground. It was great, and it was spring. I had never been west of the Mississippi at this point, and so this was a huge venture for me just to expand my world and to expand my experience in the outdoors. So we started in southern Colorado, it was springtime, so there was still a lot of snow. We did an avalanche search and rescue class, did some ice climbing in one of the canyons down near Durango, and then backpacked, you know, nonstop for 3 months straight. I probably covered about 500 some miles over that time frame, and it was very incredible, that whole experience, just learning and being a guinea pig about being in nature and how to survive, and, you know, seeing bears and hearing cougars in the middle of the night, etc. It was just such an incredible experience. So we finished up in Banff, Canada, and then made a 52-hour drive straight back to Atlanta. And then I was at a loss. I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, you think when you finish college, like, oh, you're going to have it all figured out. But that was certainly not the case for me. And I don't think it's true for very many people. In fact, I'm still figuring out what I want to do in my 40s. So I, luckily, a friend of mine from college had just gotten a job up in North Georgia as a wilderness counselor for this outdoor boarding school. It was a residential boarding school for kids who were kind of troubled and needed some guidance and some support. And they were high schoolers, so they really weren't that much younger than I was at that time. And so I got the job, and my very first day of work, after having convinced my boss that he really needed a female counselor on his backpacking trip that was starting the day I started work, it was a 10-day trip, and I showed up with my backpack loaded. I was coming off of that Continental Divide trip, so I was in pretty awesome backpacking shape, and I came in strong. I mean, that's kind of what I do, but I didn't have any counseling skills. I knew how to talk to people, but I didn't have any counseling skills, so this was all on-the-job training for sure. It was amazing. It was an incredible job for me and great experience, and I literally spent like 120 days on the trail every year for about 2 years. It was fabulous, and it was hard too, just learning, you know, how to help kids that were struggling and to be kind of forced into this adult authoritative role that I had never really been in before, even though I had a lot of younger cousins and siblings, et cetera, that were under my influence in some ways. So it was a great way to kind of step into being an adult and learning more. And with that came the need, really, and the desire on my behalf to have some better medical understanding, because I had a lot of situations on those trips where I certainly was responsible for people's lives, and I really wanted to make sure that everybody was safe, and healthy and returned in one piece. And, you know, honestly, it was very imperative that I do that. And I had a couple of experiences. Luckily, I was early on, my boss sent me for my wilderness first responder training, which was a 2-week course in Alabama, actually, at the time. And it was amazing. Again, a very transformative experience for me. And I loved, loved, loved it. It was so powerful. It was so creative. We got to use, you know, duct tape and ski poles and have these mock helicopter rescues and, you know, thinking on your feet and just having to just be on it and make a call and, you know, do what needed to be done to help people. So that was really incredible and definitely made me feel this sense of confidence when I came back from that. And it also, again, kind of continued to light that simmering fire that was happening that was guiding me toward the path of medicine, which was certainly where I was headed. So that was wonderful. And I brought it back to the experiences on the trail with those kids. And there were several situations where I had to utilize that. We had a kid who was an asthmatic, but the nurses had not given us her medications before the trip. And we didn't know actually that she had exercise induced asthma. And she had an episode that was very scary and stopped breathing when we were out. And so we were probably only about 2 miles, thankfully, from one of the state parks in North Georgia. And we, you know, it's pre-cell phones. We had a radio, but it didn't work very great. And so, you know, I had to rescue breathe her, and the kids were awesome. I just had to like give them all jobs and, hey, you guys are carrying her. Hey, I need to be at her head because I've got to breathe for her every time she stops. It was awesome. And thankfully she did great and was fine once we got back to the state park and got her to get some care. And also, you know, another good learning experience for me as far as making sure that everybody I was taking care of had the proper medications and that I had the health history that I needed for each of those kids and in any situation really in the outdoors. So after working there in North Georgia, I decided to move to Central Oregon, where I am now, Bend, Oregon, an amazing place to live. I remind my kids frequently that we live in a resort town, and they roll their eyes at me, as they should, but it is definitely true. We have nature in our backyard at all times, and it's just an incredible way to include that passion of my life into my daily living. And it certainly was a priority at that time, and I would never let it go now. So I moved here in the late 90s and landed a job at the Forest Service up in Sisters, with the Sisters Ranger District, which was also, again, I mean, just a great way to introduce myself to this area. And I literally hiked, you know, most days at work, did trail maintenance and checked people's permits, and got to know Central Oregon in the outdoors during that time, which was amazing. And also worked for Bend Parks and Rec as a hiking guide. And honestly, it was an elder group. They were in their 60s or so, and they really taught me all about all the trails here, which was great. I was their guide, but honestly, they were kind of my guide. And they would just beg me to drive them for ice cream at the end of every hike, which was totally fine with me. So that was kind of my intro to Central Oregon living. And after 2 years of kind of seasonal work, I decided I needed to grow up a little bit and get a real job, and worked for New Leaf Academy, which was also it was a residential boarding school for girls, and they didn't have much of an outdoor program. And I was able and privileged enough to be able to convince the owner to let me start that for them. So we would do, you know, same kind of thing, backpacking trips, some rafting, and get those girls outdoors as much as possible. And I really saw the benefit for kids in general, but especially kids who were struggling with some of their choices, just to have that environmental education and also kind of the natural consequences that come with being out in nature, like learning the weather patterns and making sure you're packing correctly and learning how to work together as a team when you're out for multiple days at a time. It's just an incredible facet for learning, and I was honored to be in that program and to kind of develop that program for them. So on the tail end of that, I was again trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And I decided I would go to medical school. So I enrolled in the paramedic program at COCC and finished up my prereqs for medical school application. And luckily, my science degree in undergrad covered most of those, but I took a few courses up at COCC with some really fabulous teachers, some of the best, honestly. And perhaps that was partly because I was excited about school and it was really my choice. I was paying for it myself. So maybe that was part of my transformation and my passion. But I really loved that part of my training. And in the midst of it, you know, certainly taking the MCATs and applying to medical schools, but something didn't feel quite right. You know, I envisioned myself as an emergency medical person, like at Mount Everest or something cool like that. It was kind of my dream to be an outdoor medical practitioner, rescue, emergency person. But I worked for the Bend Fire Department just on their medical transport team, which was not emergency. I did some emergency stuff because we had to with our training when I was in the paramedic program, but most of the work I did for them was non-emergency, and it was great. But I also realized I didn't think at the time that I would have what it took to continue emergency medicine for my entire career. So I started to kind of rethink some things, and I did not get accepted to OHSU, which is where I really wanted to go for medical school, the first go round. And it's such a process to take the MCATs and to enroll and to get all your ducks in a row to get accepted in the first place. Plus, it costs a lot of money. And I was really ready to start school. So interestingly, at the time, my partner at the time suggested that I go get some acupuncture, and I had never done that. I'd heard about it, but I'd never done it. And I was like, I don't have anything wrong with me. Why would I do that? And he just encouraged me to go and said he had a great experience. And so we had a mutual friend that was one of our rafting, kayaking buddies, and she's a great acupuncturist here in town. And so I went and saw her and had just this totally transformative experience, even though I didn't really have anything that I was working on. It was very meditative. I call it AccuLand. I was definitely in the zone and just loved it. And it kind of, again, like lit this fire into my journey that was starting to culminate. And around the same time, a mutual friend of ours, my ex-partner and I, was living up in Portland, and he had a friend who was going to the naturopathic college there in CNM at the time. Now it's called NUNM. And he told me about her, and he's like, you should just come and meet her and see, and maybe she can take you around the school. So I did. And I think I had to say naturopathic like 10 times. I could not even pronounce it. And I didn't know what it was. I had no clue. I didn't even know it existed. It was like, what is this kind of medicine? And she toured me around the school, and I was so impressed and recognized, you know, that I could be a doctor like I wanted to be, but also could learn to be an acupuncturist and learn about herbs and nutrition and all of these other awesome modalities that were available to us. And so I enrolled. Thankfully, I had all my prereqs done. I had, you know, taken the MCATs, not that we needed them for, I don't think we needed them for entering school, but, you know, just had everything, the boxes all checked. And that was summertime. And I enrolled and got accepted and started that September, just a few months later. And I was there for 6 years and did the dual degree program. So I got my Master's of Science in Oriental Medicine and my naturopathic physician's license, or ND degree, from them. It was pretty grueling, amazing, but grueling, and met some really incredible like-minded people who were also there studying the same thing as me. And really, you kind of don't realize how intense a program like that is until you're done with it, honestly. And looking back, even soon thereafter, I recognized that it was so brutal and so intense, but also just one of my favorite times of life. So I had a couple kids while I was in school, which was kind of insane to do, but it just was the right timing in some ways. Not that having kids is never perfect timing. It's just an incredible part of life, and it fits in when it's supposed to, and I really believe that. And so my oldest daughter was born in my fourth year of school, and luckily our school was so accommodating to new moms, and so I was able to bring her as an infant with me for, she was born in April, and we had a couple months left, and thank goodness I had that summer off, which I didn't totally plan, it just kind of happened that way. I only had two summers off the whole time, and one of them was spent studying for our science boards after our second year. So it was ultimate timing, honestly, because I was able to bring her with me when she was an infant and, you know, still attend some classes. We had this remote room that was live streaming video, and so we could bring our babies, and it was perfect. And then she, I was home with her all that summer, so it kind of worked out really nicely that I managed. You know, people say, gosh, you're crazy that you had a kid during school. A lot of people did. And it's just part of life, right? I mean, we just try and balance things as best we can. And then I was pregnant in my last year, my sixth year of school, while I was writing two theses and studying for board exams after we graduated, and just, you know, finishing up all of our preceptorships and et cetera. It was a lot that last year. And I was pregnant with my son during that time. You know, my daughter was two. And then the summer after graduating, we studied for boards all summer long. And my colleague and good dear friend from school, Susan, and I studied together. She had just had knee surgery and I was hugely pregnant. So we were quite the scene. Trying to carry all our books around and intensely study for boards. And thankfully, we both passed them first go round. It's also a brutal rite of passage, you know, 13 exams over 3 days, and just trying to regurgitate everything you've learned for the last 6 years. It's pretty intense, and it's really hard to study for because you just don't know exactly how to cover everything. It's like a full-time job, honestly, and very, very challenging experience, but hugely significant and kind of this, you know, almost like a trophy at the end of such an incredible and intense 6 years of study. So soon after I passed my board exams, my dad was terminally ill with colon cancer. And my son was born about a month after my boards. And so I spent a lot of time back and forth to Atlanta, helping to take care of him and just being with him in his end of life. And that was quite a learning experience for me as well. Just, well, one, losing a parent is always an interesting part of life that is very bittersweet. It's challenging and hard, and there's huge loss, but there's also this incredible connection that happens, and me being a new doctor at that stage of the game, it was a really good way for me to kind of learn how to balance Western medicine and my alternative, quote unquote, medicine that I had just learned. And just to witness the natural part of life that is death, and seeing his struggle with leaving this life, and watching him kind of transform and be able to somewhat do it gracefully. And it was quite a gift. And I was so glad that I was able to be there with him and experience it that with my family and allow him to move on from this life. And he's still a big part of my life, even though he's not physically here anymore. So I started my practice in Portland for the first year and just rented a room at this acupuncture clinic in North Portland that is now a booming part of the town. And it was a really cool place to work, actually. The woman I worked under was wonderful and had a few years under her belt, so it was a great way to start things. And then decided to move back to Bend and start up my practice here and raise my family here. Had my third kid in the midst of that, my sweet little Spitfire, and started my practice here. And really, you know, I love what I do. My practice is amazing. And when I started it, it was certainly geared toward family medicine. you know, I was at the playground a lot. And so many of my connections were made while I was holding children and watching kids play, and was talking to moms on the side of the playground. And it was a great way to start my practice and connect with the community again after having been gone for almost 8 years. And there's some wonderful people here, so it was a great experience building my practice. And certainly I had no idea what it took, you know, honestly, to build a practice and to put this training that I had into action. But it's been such an awesome journey. So I'm so glad to be doing what I do, and it transforms every year. So for 5 years or so, one of my mentors in school, he said to us all along, you know, it takes at least 5 years to build your business. And we were like, whatever, we're going to totally be busy right away. And it's fine. It's great. No problem. I'm so connected. I'm such a good doctor. It's awesome. Everybody's going to want to come and see me. Well, he was totally spot on, of course. And so I ate my words a little bit, and it was financially challenging and challenging on the ego, and definitely a learning experience, and still is. And I have found, though, what I love about my practice the most, and this is still true 11 years later, is the connection with my patients and getting to hear their stories, because everybody comes from such a unique place. And watching the willingness to change and transform their own health and their own lives. And, you know, when I was in school, there was so much about, as a physician, you know, you don't share your own experiences, you kind of keep this separation. And I honor that, and I think it's valuable. I do think there is a personal boundary that needs to be maintained, of course. But I also have found, especially practicing in a smaller town, that people really want connection. They really want to feel heard. They want to feel validated. They want to feel like they're not the only ones experiencing certain things. And so that connection has been key to my practice for me, and I also believe for my patients. And I really find that they get so much more out of their health and their healing process, and knowing that we're kind of team members in that journey for them. So I've been witness to some beautiful transformations in people's lives and in their health, and to some serious struggle, of course. Acupuncture in and of itself is it's obviously an energetic medicine, and to see it in action, it blows me away still. I mean, I've been doing this for so long, or a fair amount of time, and I still get totally flustered and am in awe of what happens sometimes, because it is so unique to the moment of treatment, what the synergistic energy of my day and that patient's life culminates as is very unpredictable and beautiful and very unique from day to day. So I love that piece of it too. And I just get to see people really take charge of their health with some simple guidelines. And that's kind of what I'm culminating in here in this podcast, is helping folks recognize that with some simple additions to their lives, some simple habits, some routine additions to support their circadian rhythm, their parasympathetic nervous systems, it doesn't have to be that hard. And I think that the transformations can be so much more exponential when we just do some regular simple addition to our life. Self-care obviously is a huge priority to me, and that I think bleeds over into my patients, and that spills over into their lives, hopefully. And that's how I try and aspire to teach other people, is by modeling it myself. So in the last few years, I have found yoga and martial arts and strong first training, strength training, primal movement kind of stuff. And those three things have been the new catalyst for where I am now in my life, and they continue to be so. I did my yoga teacher training with Rolf Gates, who is an incredible human being, and it was a complete honor to learn from him. And I practice yoga pretty regularly. I teach here and there, and I really enjoy it. And then martial arts came into my life exactly when it was meant to. And I found karate, and it has been, it's hard for me to even put in words what that has done for my life. Obviously, it has brought some courage and confidence, but the changes in me, both physically and spiritually and emotionally, all three, have been mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. And I can't even, you know, begin to express the gratitude and the humility that I have for being on the journey of martial arts. It has been incredible. It's a huge part of my life now, and I am segueing it into my practice as well, because I do think movement and body mechanics and having a passionate place in your life that inspires those things is really, really important. In fact, it's a must-have. And it has offered me a sounding board, a safe landing for many challenging things that have happened in my life personally. And I can't even begin to express how important it is for me and how grateful I am to be a part of such a community of incredible human beings who are also along the same, similar type of journey, parallel journey, I should say. And then that brought me to, I've been strength training for a lot of years with an incredible coach here in town, and recently found another coach with Empowered Strength, and I am working on more guidelines, more focused on strong first training. And it's very, again, it's the simplicity, this routine kind of training that you can do almost anywhere. And the effects have been huge already for me. And it's only been probably 8 months since I started training there. And they've segued into my martial arts training tremendously, into my yoga teaching. I make people crawl and roll and do all kinds of silly stuff nowadays. And it's been incredible. And it's certainly been a part of my medical practice too. So I get my patients out in my great room, and we do some crawling, or I show them some different moves that they can start to incorporate, or even just teaching people how to belly breathe and stimulate that vagus nerve. It's such an important piece of our daily living, since we're so sympathetically stimulated all the time. And we don't run from the tiger or fight the tiger anymore. And so we have to do something with that sympathetic stimulus. And toning the vagus nerve, toning the parasympathetic nervous system is key. And that is certainly a part of our eating habits. You know, how do we sit down to a meal? Are we shoveling food in our mouth in the car? I'm guilty of it, of course. Are we rushing through food because we have to? Are we taking the time to be grateful for it, to savor it, to chew, to let our rest digest functions work for us? Because they are the key to longevity, in my opinion, and to happiness. We know a lot about the gut-brain connection, and there's a lot more research coming out on that. As a naturopath, we've been studying that and practicing that for a long time. I don't think there was necessarily the verbiage to talk about it in the early years, but now the research is catching up, and I love that that it's becoming more mainstream because it's helpful for people. So it's really important for us. I mean, I always think of the gut as an opening to the outside world. I mean, it's really not even ours. If you think about it, we're an open tube from mouth to the end. And everything on the inside of the lining of our gut is literally not us. It's an open tube. And so those microflora are so essential in creating this layer between our food intake and us. And we are, you know, our guts are lined with neurotransmitters and secretory IgA and all kinds of immune function. It's our kind of our first line of defense. And so if we don't have a healthy, happy gut, the rest of us suffers, of course. So a big part of my practice now is shifting into sports medicine more, because obviously that's a passion for me, but also into optimal nutrition and teaching people how to kind of restore that parasympathetic nervous function, the rest digest function that we need to regenerate every single day. So movement patterns are key. Activity is key. Being outdoors, deep breathing, learning how to be in a meditative state. Another beauty of martial arts, in my opinion, is this very yin-yang force where we have to throw hard and heavy punches or kicks. We have to be attacked. We get to be, in my mentality. We have to perform in front of people and try and remember our forms as best we can. We have to focus our energy so that we can break boards. And all of that is very yang in nature. But the yin of it comes with staying centered and keeping our wits about us and keeping our minds toned, sharp, resilient. And that is the key, in my opinion, to optimal health. So for my podcast, I'm excited to have some really interesting people on my show. I've got a few folks already tentatively lined up. And so I hope that you'll become an audience member and that you find at least one pearl out of every podcast that I publish. I really am grateful for you guys as my audience, as my patients, as my mentors, as my friends, the community out there that's listening and that has supported me in my journey and my kids. Of course, my biggest teachers are my children, and they challenge me every day, and they keep me in awe of their resilience in every moment. They're amazing. So I hope that you will listen to my podcast, glean some interesting information, give me feedback, and I want you to get after your life. That's my goal. I want people to bring their lives to a new level. And I've seen it happen. I've done it myself, and I'm continuing to do it more. And I hope that that passion kind of spills out for the rest of you to find your vital edge, to find that new level of connection, commitment, mindfulness, relationships that are thriving, and your optimal health. So thank you so much for listening. And please, once I get everything set up, I'd love for you to follow me on iTunes. And thank you again for your support. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Happy Father's Day. It's June 17th, 2018. So it's Father's Day. And it's also my mom and my dog's birthday. So happy birthday to them. And thanks again for your time. I appreciate you so much.